Amen. Thank you, Skeeter. Well, if we're not careful, people are going to begin to wonder if I'm the pastor here. I promise you, pastor is trying to get better. Of course, the second question everybody asks is, has he been to the doctor? And I said, I can't answer that. I plead the fifth. He is trying to get better, all right? He appreciates your prayers and knows that you're thinking about him, but just continue to lift him up in your prayers. He's still coughing a lot. He is not here tonight. He's resting. I told you, you know that. Maybe God just telling you you need to take a little break here for a minute and gather yourself back up. So we're praying he rests good and that he heals quickly. Let you know about a couple different things, and then we'll jump in. First, Pastor Ray will be here next week. So I know many of you like to hear Ray Perriman. He'll be here next week. Great opportunity to invite friends. And then he's going to do a deal down in Logansport on Friday night, the next night. So you'll all be welcome to come to that if you'd like to. But I'm sure he'll give you some details of that. But next Thursday, Ray will be here. And then we also wanted to let you know that Anna Jean Price's funeral is this Sunday. Visitation will be from 1 to 2. The funeral will be at 2 o'clock, and that'll be at Life Tabernacle. So if you would like to go and support that family, I know they would sure appreciate it. Did you have a good New Year's? I realized this New Year's, normally we're out of town on New Year's, traveling back from Florida, and this year we didn't go. Didn't really have a reason not to go other than we just didn't feel like we were supposed to. And then pastor ends up sick. And so that was probably God's providence working ahead of time. But we spent the first New Year since we moved here in Shreveport. And so we had the bright idea to have people over. We had, I don't know, 20, 25 people at the house. I realized that I'm getting too old for that. I tell you, come midnight, I was ready to bless them on their way out the door. I was ready to go to bed. My kids stayed up the whole time. I have no idea how they did that. But they stayed up the whole time, had a good New Year's, enjoyed it with friends and family, and we enjoyed that. Let me pray over the Word, and then we'll jump right into what God has been speaking to me about. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for already visiting with us. God, I thank you that we can come to a place expecting to meet with you. And so, God, we do that tonight. We expect you to speak to us tonight. God, we open our hearts. We ask that you come and meddle and fix and deal with us tonight. God, I pray that we don't walk out of here the same way we came in. God, I pray that you would bless this word, Lord, that people would hear you speaking through this message. We love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I was scrolling through Facebook, which I don't normally do. I'm really not on Facebook as much as it looks like I'm on Facebook, but every now and then I'll get bored and it's just something to go do. So I was on Facebook, I think it was New Year's Day or maybe New Year's Eve, I don't remember because it was all a blur at that point. But I came across this video I thought was a great video, and it may be somebody's friend here, I have no idea, all right? I saw this video of a kid, he looked like he was probably, I don't know, I'd say 3 or 4 years old maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, and his dad apparently had some cows, and they were sleeping in the pasture doing what cows do. And he told his son, he said, listen, go jump on the back of this cow. And so at first when I saw the post, I just saw the kid holding up a $20 bill. So I thought, no, that's cool. Let's see what this is about. So anyway, his dad tells him, and so it's a video of his dad sitting on the back porch, and this kid sneaks up to this massive cow who's laying down and tries to get on it and ride it. And I think the kid got one leg over before he got launched. And the dad said, I didn't know what it said because I didn't have the audio on. I was nervous. Anyway, the dad said in the comments that he actually made it for a couple seconds before he got bucked off, which he was counting way faster than I was because I saw the kid flying through the air. But anyway, it was a funny video. And I was thinking as I was preparing this message tonight about that video and how funny it is that, you know, dads can get kids to do crazy things sometimes, can't they? And I was doing some research and reading, and research says that about 1 in 4 people die of heart disease each year. Now, we took like a hard left turn there, but this will make sense here in a minute. And tonight, what I want to talk to you about is not a physical disease that I think we suffer from, but a spiritual disease that if we're not careful, will cause us, it'll cause us spiritual problems all through our life. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, God wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live a bold life, a life that we trust Him, kind of like that kid. Now, the difference is God hopefully isn't going to send us to jump on the back of an animal that's going to hurt us, but we want to have that boldness and that assurance that we can trust God. But a lot of times we have this thing in us that doesn't want to do that for whatever reason. And so I want to introduce to you a term tonight that maybe you've heard before, maybe you haven't, just the term the orphan spirit. And I want to talk to you tonight about an orphan spirit and what an orphan spirit can rob us from if we're not careful. Now, a lot of you are thinking already, you know, that's not me. I'm checked out. I'm good with God. And I want to warn you because a lot of times this orphan spirit is something that can creep back into our life if we're not careful as well. But an orphan spirit is really just a term. It's not a spirit necessarily, but it's more of a mental or a mindset. The orphan spirit is a term basically used to describe abandonment or loneliness or alienation or isolation from God. That's what I'm talking about when I say an orphan spirit. The problem with an orphan spirit or that mindset is that it opens doors for lots of other spirits to come and attach themselves. Let me tell you a little bit of what I'm talking about. An orphan spirit sometimes can invite greed into our heart as it drives us to strive for more, or climb for better, climb that ladder of success, do more, get more, make things bigger, better. An orphan spirit can drive us to that place where we become greedy. An orphan spirit, sometimes it invites a prideful spirit into our life. We have to have the right clothes, we have to drive the right cars, we have to, you know, drink the right coffee, or we're not going to be looked on the same. That orphan spirit can cause that spirit of pride to have an entry place in our heart. An orphan spirit sometimes can invite a spirit of dishonesty in. That mindset of an orphan can invite dishonesty into our lives where we begin to manipulate or lie or maybe exaggerate stories so that we sound as good as our Facebook page looks, right? That orphan spirit can cause problems, and this will make a little more sense as we open up God's Word and look at what God's Word has to say about an orphan spirit and how this creeps into our life. Because the reality is an orphan spirit puts us under the control of people because it finds its value in people instead of finding its value in God. An orphan spirit looks to another person to get value rather than to God to get value. That's the problem with an orphan spirit. It opens up this chasm where things begin to creep in on us if we're not careful. Now listen, everyone has either come from an orphan spirit or is possible to return to that orphan spirit. Why? Because we weren't always sons and daughters of Jesus. We weren't always a Christian. And so we all know what it means to have that orphan spirit, and that orphan spirit will always call back to us. And so as we unpack what that is tonight, there's kind of two things I want to attack tonight. One, I want to recognize, how do I recognize if I have an orphan spirit in my mind? And listen, this may not be something that describes your whole life. This may be something that describes a part of your life. You may have things together in most areas, but there's just one area that you kind of have this orphan spirit in that God wants to deal with tonight. The other thing is, what do I do about it? If I've got this orphan spirit, if I've got this bad mindset, this mindset that's going to invite other spirits in, what do I do about those things? For me, one of the areas that I had to overcome where I had a little bit of an orphan spirit is speaking in front of people. I really don't enjoy necessarily getting up in front of people. It terrified me for a long time. Part of that is because growing up, part of my role on staff at a church was to help critique the pastor. So in my mind, what I figured is everybody is critiquing the pastor. And so because of this orphan spirit, this fear of man, basically, it made me very nervous to speak in front of people because I knew what everybody out there is thinking. This dude is sweating. He's nervous. He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, right? That's what all of you are thinking right now. Well, that's not really the case, but in my mind, that's what I had worked up. Why? Because I had this orphan spirit. And the way God dealt with me in that area is he reminded me, listen, if I've called you to this, I'm going to provide for you in this area, and this is the thing that you need to overcome. This isn't from me. This is something from something else. And so we have to recognize that this orphan spirit, these mindsets that we have are bad mindsets, and then we can allow God to deal with them. So as we open up God's Word, we're going to be over in Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 15, and we're going to look at a common story, a story you've probably all heard many times. I know if you've been here long, pastors preached on it several times, but we're going to kind of look at it from a different angle. This is the parable of the prodigal son, and it's in Luke 15. It starts in verse 11. Now, lay a few things out here before we jump into the text. The first thing is obviously the father represents who? God, all right? The father represents God in this story. But then there's these two brothers, right? There's a younger brother and an older brother. And I think sometimes we read this story and we've heard the story preached and we think, oh, the prodigal son is that that lost son that needs to be saved. We equate the story of the parable to salvation, and there's definitely truths about salvation we can draw from that. But I think it's important for us to remember that the prodigal son is still a son. So there's some applications in this story for us as Christians. For those of us who have a relationship with God, we can open this story and we can find ourselves in both brothers, both the younger and the older brother. Because the younger brother, though he didn't always make the right choices, though he squandered his wealth, though he went away in wild living, he was still a son of the father. And the older brother, if you remember when he gets home, and we'll read about in a second, he didn't have things all figured out either. He had some relationship issues with the father. And so we can find ourselves in both places of both the younger and the older brother. This is a message not just to believers or just to the lost, all right? There's things we can pull from both. So let's start in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm going to read the story, and then we'll kind of jump back and look at some different things. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants has food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Notice the father's heart is filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come home, they replied, and your father's killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So as we look at this story, there's about seven traits I want to pull out. And now don't worry, I'm still not going to be real long. Or we're going to move through these pretty quickly. But there's seven traits of an orphan spirit that I'm going to talk about tonight. And as we go through those seven traits, I want you to just put yourself in the story and see, is there any area in my life where I line up with this orphan spirit and that God wants to deal with tonight? The first one of those is an orphan spirit. Remember, it's not a literal spirit, but this is a mindset. And an orphan spirit or an orphan mindset operates out of insecurity. An orphan spirit operates out of insecurity. The older brother, when the son came home and the fattened calf was killed, what did the other brother do? He refused to go in and celebrate his brother's return. Why? Well, I think a lot of it had to do with insecurity. He had a misunderstanding of what made up his father's relationship or the lack in their relationship. He maybe was frustrated. He was at a place where he was just insecure in his relationship. Why are you celebrating this son when I've been here and I've served and I've slaved and I've obeyed? Why aren't you celebrating me? Why are you celebrating him? What does that come from? That comes from insecurity. Maybe he thought, I've performed for you. I've done the right things for you. I've obeyed. I've served. What is that? It's a performance-based mindset. He had a misunderstanding of the relationship he had with his father. Or maybe it was perceived favor. You love this son, but you don't love me. How come that is? How come you celebrate this son, but you don't celebrate me when this one's the one that ran off and was wild? We have two dogs, and I think our smaller dog suffers from this. He suffers from insecurity. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. If we have our smallest dog's name is Jed. Our larger dog is Rusty. We've had Rusty for 2 or 3 years now, and and Jet, we've just had for about a year now. And anytime I call Rusty, Jet comes. Doesn't matter what I can call Rusty and Jet's going to come. I can say, Rusty, go get the ball. Jet will go get the ball. I can throw the ball for Rusty and for Jet. Jet's going to go get his ball, and then he's going to get the ball out of Rusty's mouth and bring it back. What is his problem? He's an insecure dog, right? He suffers from an orphan spirit. I have not done my job as a father to these dogs, right? It's a silly illustration, but I think a lot of times that's the way we interact with God, or we have this mindset about God, that we have this orphan spirit that causes us to think that we've got to we have this insecurity. We're not sure our relationship with God. We're not sure how much he loves us. We're not sure if he's really even excited to be with us. So insecurity causes us to base our value based on circumstances rather than our relationship. It causes us to look around and say, man, things aren't going the way I'd like for them to go. God must be mad at me. Or, I haven't gotten the things I wanted this year, so I must not be on good terms with God. Or maybe I know I've disobeyed God and I'm not on good terms with God. The problem is that's not the way God operates. But the spirit of a son looks different. The spirit of sonship is secure in their father's love. And that frees them to celebrate others freely. When we're secure in the love of God, when we're secure knowing that God loves us for who we are, not for what we've done, then it allows us to celebrate others. It allows us to celebrate the success of others. So the first one, an orphan spirit operates out of insecurity. A spirit of sonship is secure in their father's love. Now, insecurity looks a lot like jealousy because it thrives on attention. So that brings us to the second one. An orphan spirit is jealous of the success of others. An orphan spirit is jealous of the success of others. A lot of times when we have an orphan spirit, we become jealous of successful people around us. The older brother saw what was given to the younger brother. Dad pulled out a ring and a coat and sandals and was celebrating. And it caused him to miss what he had all along. In verse 30 and 31, it says that, but when the son of yours has squandered property with prostitutes and come home, you kill the fattened calf for him. The older brother speaking. The dad looks and says, my son, the father said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. When we have an orphan spirit, we become jealous of what others have. It causes us to see what they have and miss what we have. We miss the blessings that God's given us. We miss the things that God's provided for us. Jealousy rules our heart. Then we only see what others have and we miss what's available. Jealousy causes us to celebrate failure in others, right? We've all been in circumstances or situations where we can't wait to say, see, I told you so. What is that? That's an insecurity on our part. That's wanting to prove ourselves right, wanting to prove ourselves better. That causes problems. And one of my favorite pastors is Brian Houston. He's a Hillsong church. And they just did the movie not too long ago, Let Hope Arise, and it's about the Hillsong worship team. But it gives you an insight into the heart of that church. And one of the things that struck me about Brian Houston is he's probably my dad's age, and he has sons my age or a son my age. And one of the things he said in that movie just resonated with me. He said, you know, too many pastors pastor in a way that keeps the younger generation under them or keeps the younger generation behind them. I want to pastor in a way where I become a footstool or I'll become the floor for the next generation to reach God better, to reach God more clearly, to reach God in ways that I couldn't do. I want to lift up the next generation. How come he can have that attitude towards the next generation? He knows it's going to look different. It's going to sound different. It's going to be different, but he has that attitude. Why? Because he doesn't suffer from an orphan spirit. Instead, he has a spirit of sonship that's committed to the success of others. When we're secure in who God created us to be and we're secure in his love for us, then we don't have to be jealous for other people's success. We can get alongside them and help them get to where God wants them to be. That's what God's called us to do. A spirit of sonship is committed to the success of others. The third place that an orphan spirit shows itself. An orphan spirit seeks to earn their father's love and approval. An orphan spirit is always looking to earn that approval. The older brother is quick to point out, look, Dad, I served you. I was obedient to you. I did the things you wanted me to do. I served you. I was always here working away and slaving away. We only find value in what we can do for God instead of finding value in being with God. When we have an orphan spirit, what happens is we're always looking for ways we can serve God, which isn't a bad thing, but we do that only to find value in ourselves. God's saying, listen, I don't need you to do for me. I want you to be with me. Think about it this way. How many of us serve God, or how many of you prayed this prayer, God, I just want you to use me. The problem with God using you isn't God using you. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with God using you. But if that's your only mentality or your only way of relating to God, then what happens when you can no longer be used by God? What happens when you lose your voice and can't sing, or you're not able to stand at the door and greet, or you're not able to teach anymore? You become a broken piece of equipment. And what do we do with broken pieces of equipment? We get rid of them. We throw them out, right? We so wrap our value around what we can do for God that Satan uses that as an opportunity to get into our hearts and begin to tell us the lie that we didn't really have value to God. An orphan spirit attaches value to what they can do for their love of their father and their father's approval. A spirit of sonship understands they're loved and accepted by their father. And they work from that love and acceptance, not for it. My kids don't have to do anything for my love and affection. It was kind of nice the last couple weeks. I've been home 4 days a week instead of gone 4 days a week. And so it was funny because every morning they wake up, you don't have to go to work again today? No, I don't have to go to work again today. They were just happy to be with me. I didn't have to do anything for them. They didn't have to do anything for me. They were just happy being with me. Why? Because my presence there was enough for them. That's all they were looking for. We've got to get to a place in our relationship with God that we're not always trying to do for God, but that we're happy just being with God. That's what a spirit of sonship does. A spirit of sonship recognizes the relationship, the work from the relationship. My kids do the things to help me. My kids bless me because they love me, not to earn my love. That's where we've got to get with our relationship with God. It's not working for God's love and approval, but working from His love and approval. The fourth trait of an orphan spirit that we see in the story, an orphan spirit tries to find love in substitutions. Look at the younger son. The younger son left everything he had in his father's house to find more in wild living. He already had everything the father wanted, just like the older brother. It was all there. It was all available to him. But what did he want to do? He wanted to take his wealth. He wanted to take his portion and go off and find more, find better. Why? What was he trying to do? Well, he's trying to fill that hole of the relationship. He's trying to go in, and we do the same thing. We go off and we try to fill that relational hole that we're missing with physical gratification or relationships or self-indulgence or addictions. Or we look to other things besides God to fill that hole in our life. So the orphan spirit takes us from being happy with the relationship with God to chasing after all these other things that ends up squandering the son's wealth and puts him in a place of need. You know, a lot of times this is how gangs initiate people. The reason that gangs are so popular among young people, especially young people without parents at home or single parents where mom's gone or dad's gone, and is they get involved in these gangs because they find a relational connection there that they don't find at home. They found something to substitute for their father's love and approval or their mother's love and approval. That's why gangs can have such loyalty to them. It's because they found something there that they need, they long for, they want. The same is true with our Heavenly Father. An orphan spirit finds love in substitution. It looks to other things besides God to fill the void that only God's love is meant to fill. So what is a sonship? The spirit of sonship understands that the presence of the Lord is the only thing that will bring joy and peace in our lives. The presence of God, the presence of the Lord in our lives is the only thing that's going to bring that peace, that joy, that thing that we're looking for. But if we're not careful, we'll allow that orphan spirit in. It'll drive us to substitutions. The fifth thing, an orphan spirit is driven by the need for success. Why? Because we're under the rule of people. We're under the law or the fear of man. So we look to man to give us acclamation or we look to man to give us accreditation. The younger son wanted to live his life his own way. He wanted to do his own thing. The orphan spirit, driven by opinions of others, will always try to fill the void of their father's approval. I remember a while back, it's probably been in the 90s, I would say, big church called North Point kind of came on the scene. North Point Community Church is in Atlanta, Georgia. And a pastor by the name of Andy Stanley kind of hit big, and he's still a very large pastor today. And most of you probably know his father, though, Charles Stanley. And Charles Stanley was the pastor of First Baptist of Atlanta, a big mega church in its time. And so the plan had always been for Andy to kind of come on and take the pastor role of First Baptist of Atlanta. The problem was his dad, Charles Stanley, was a very driven man in ministry, doing godly things. He had a lot of ministry going on. But what ended up happening is ministry ended up taking over his family. Cost him his marriage, almost cost him the relationship with his son. His drive for success, doing God things, doing ministry, cost him his relationship with his wife and almost cost him his relationship with his son. 12 years he kind of sat mad at each other. They would go to counseling. They try to restore, and eventually the two of them have reconciled and have a good relationship now. But what drove Charles Stanley to succeed? Well, it was a lack of understanding of who he was in Christ. God's plan didn't involve wrecking his family. That came from that orphan spirit, that drive to succeed so that he could find value in who he was and what he was doing. I've been there. I've served at a church where, man, every single weekend we were either doing something, picking up from something, or pushing towards something. It was an event-driven church. And there's some good that comes from that, and if God's called you to that, then that's God's plan. But I really don't think God calls us to anything at the sacrifice of our family. But what happens is again, because we have a lack of understanding of who we are and what God's called us to do, Satan begins to speak to us through that orphan spirit and says, listen, you need to keep driving for more. You need to get better. You need to be more successful. You need to build the ministry, build the empire. And we become so consumed with building our own kingdom that we forget the kingdom that God's called us to. So an orphan spirit is driven by the need for success because other people look in and say, oh, that person is successful, that person is winning, that person is doing right. But a spirit of the sonship is driven by the Holy Spirit into the Father's calling and the Father's mission. And in the Father's calling and the Father's mission, people don't get hurt. Relationships aren't destroyed, families aren't broken apart. Now, God was able to work those things back together for the good and that relationship is reconciled, but how much pain was caused because he allowed a spirit of this orphan spirit to take control and drive him to success at the cost of his family. The sixth place or trait of an orphan spirit is an orphan spirit uses manipulation to control. It says in verse 28 that the older son becomes angry. There's some different things that we may be recognized in the natural realm, but we don't recognize it in the spiritual realm. But things like anger and seduction and pity, those are ways that we use manipulation to control other people. They come from an orphan spirit. An orphan spirit doesn't feel in control, and so he uses things to try to control his environment. We understand this as parents, right? Our children learn to manipulate us at an early age, right? They cry, and what do? We pick them up. They cry and we feed, right? They pitch a temper tantrum and because they know that if they make you uncomfortable enough, then you'll give in to their demands, right? Or, we've all been in places where, my youngest one does this, it's kind of funny, where, you'll be sitting there watching TV or doing whatever and he'll come up and give you a big hug and, I love you, Daddy, and what's the first thing that goes through your mind? What'd you do, right? Right. What is that? That's our children have learned the language of manipulation. An orphan spirit causes us to manipulate. Why? Because the spirit of sonship rests in the father's ability to guide and control. An orphan spirit says, I've got to take control. I've got to manage things on my own. I've got to make sure that I'm in control of things. But a spirit of sonship, when we understand who we are in Christ, we can rest knowing that he's in charge and knowing that he's in control and that we don't have to manipulate things to get them. I had a pastor tell me early in ministry, if you have to manipulate to get it, you'll have to manipulate to keep it. And I found that to be true. I don't have to manipulate things or manipulate people or manipulate circumstances to get what God has for me. God is in control. God is able to give. God's able to bless. He's able to take away. And when he does, sometimes that's for my benefit if I'll allow it. There are some times in my life when I need to give some things up and let God take those things away from me. I don't need to manipulate my circumstances to get what I want. A spirit of sonship rests in the father's ability to guide and control their future. The seventh trait of an orphan spirit and we'll wrap up, is the orphan spirit understands value primarily through material possession and appearances. The older son was jealous of what the father gave the younger son. Why? Because in his mind, that equated to value, that equated to love, that equated to who he was. The orphan spirit never achieves enough success. It never does enough things. It never reaches a point of satisfaction. There's always a want for more. There's always a need for more in the orphan spirit. We all know someone who grows up and plays the game keeping up with the Joneses, right? They get a new truck, so I've got to go get a new truck. And they've got a hunting lease, and so I've got to get a bigger hunting lease. And they got a new boat, so I'm going to get a new boat, even though I don't fish. I got to look like they do. They go on vacation 3 weeks a year. I'm going to go vacation 3.5 weeks a year, right? We have this game where we play keep up with the Joneses. Why? Really, that just boils down to a fear of man. It boils down to an orphan spirit that doesn't understand who I am and that my relationship is grounded in my Father's love for me, not in the things I have and the things I've earned and the things I can show people and the things of this world. So as we close tonight, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think back over those traits as we talked about them and think, is there any area in my life where maybe I have an orphan spirit that's been allowed to just creep up and cause problems, cause havoc in my spiritual walk? Because God wants us to understand that He loves us. God wants us to understand that we're secure in Him. He wants us to have the boldness that little 4 or 3 year old had running out to that cow and jumping on and saying, God, if you told me to do it, it's crazy. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'll follow you. I'll do it. God, if you want me to leave the beaches of Florida and come to Cowboy Church, I'm in. I don't know how that looks. I don't know what that plays out to be. I don't know why, but I trust you and I can walk with you. And I can do that in boldness, knowing that this is what you've called me to. I don't have to walk in fear. I don't have to wonder, well, what are they going to think of me there? How are they going to receive me there? What am I going to do there? I don't have to worry about those things when I understand who I am and the call God has on my life. You don't have to worry about those things. You don't have to worry about what the neighbors think, what your parents think, what your kids think, when you understand who you are in Christ. And so if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. Just ask the Holy Spirit to begin speaking to you. Now, part of an orphan spirit happens when we're not a son or daughter of the King. And so when we answer the question, what do we do? Well, the first thing is, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first step is becoming a son or daughter of the King. And it's real simple. The Bible says in Romans 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And when you're saved, you begin a relationship with God. See, God didn't invite us into following a list of rules. He didn't invite us into a set of behaviors. He invites us into a relationship. In fact, the Bible says that we're adopted as a son or daughter of the King. And so if you've never done that, tonight I want to give you the opportunity to do that. It's real simple. You could say this prayer after me, but God's not listening to the word you're saying. God's listening to your heart. And so if you mean this in your heart, confess it with your mouth. The Bible says you'll be saved. Just say this after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And raising again 3 days later. Showing your power over death, the resurrection. God, I give you my life now. Making you my Lord and my Savior.